الفاتحة. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم ومبغضيهم وغاصب حقوقهم من أول يوم ظلمهم إلى لقاء يوم الدين. السلام عليك يا شهيد يا ابن الشهيد، السلام عليك يا ابن سيد العالمين، السلام على الحسين بن علي الشهيد، السلام على علي بن الحسين الشهيد، السلام على العباس بن أمير المؤمنين الشهيد، السلام على الشهداء من ولد أمير المؤمنين، السلام على الشهداء من ولد جعفر وعقيل، السلام على كل مستشهد من المؤمنين، ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. For the past five nights we have been discussing about the verse from Surah Taha, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to Janabe Musa and he made it clear that all the usul that we follow, from the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the nubuwat of Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and the wilayah of Ahlul Bayt salamullahi alayhi majma'in, there comes the concept of qiyamah, the concept of ma'ad. Because he says, immediately after he says, wa aqimi salata li dhikri, he says, inna sa'ata atiyatun. O Musa, surely and verily the hour shall come. The hour of reckoning shall come. Akadu ukhfiha. It is my decision that I may keep it hidden from you. Because nobody will know when the day of judgment will come. Not even the Prophet Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam knew when the day of judgment is going to come. أَكَادُ أُخْفِيهَا لِتُجْزَى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا تَسْعَى. O Musa, I am keeping it hidden because I want to account every soul for what it is doing. Whatever it may do, this soul that I am creating on this earth, I will account it on the day of judgment. Now from today, inshallah ta'ala, to the end of the series, we will only concentrate on the day of judgment, what is going to happen on the day of judgment, what the Quran says about the day of judgment, and I will not appreciate if anybody comes up to me and says that you scare us. Because the fact of the matter is that it is in the Holy Quran. And I have mentioned earlier that the Holy Quran is a book whereby me and you have to derive substance from the Holy Quran. Not just recite it on dead people, and recite it for the sake of recitation, or for the sake of understanding the Holy Quran. We have to understand the Holy Quran. For there is no need of being scared, because the information that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving in the Holy Quran is for me and you to understand and to prepare ourselves. Human nature is funny. Why? Because we worry about something which is in existence. There is no existence to it. The past has gone, there is no existence to the past. The future has no existence whatsoever. What is existent is the present. What me and you have to do is to look at the present and to work towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so our day of judgment is as easy as possible. Therefore, if someone comes and says, I am scaring you, then I will not appreciate it. When this is very honest and frank, because I am not intending to scare anybody, but I am only intending to jolt the memories of the mu'mineen, including myself, to the verses of the Holy Quran which pertains death, barzakh, and the day of judgment. All of us in this world, including the atheists, believe that they will die one day. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it in the Holy Quran, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. And you all know this. قُلْ إِنَّ الْمَوْتَ الَّذِي تَفِرُّونَ مِنْهُ فَإِنَّهُ مُلَاقِيكُمْ ثُمَّ تُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ عَالِمِ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ فَيُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Say, O Prophet, tell these people, the death that you and I are running away from shall come. Then you shall be returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He shall inform you and me what you have been doing on this earth. For we have been created for a purpose. أَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا. Do you even think for a moment that we have created you in vain? And that you shall not return to me? No, that's not the case. It is different, however, that when we do the zikrs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we do dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we befriend Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have friendship with Allah. We build a relationship with Allah. An intimate relationship. Just like the relationship of Janab Ibrahim with Allah. He was called Khalil. Khalil of Allah means the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you must have heard this or read it in Qasasul Anbiya, that once the Prophet Ibrahim was passing by, going somewhere, and he saw someone digging a grave. And he stopped for a while. He said, whose grave are you digging, O man? He says, I'm digging your grave, Ibrahim. Ibrahim looks at him and says, you know who I am? I am Khalil. I am the friend of Allah. You are digging my grave? He says, yes, I am digging your grave, for I have given the command by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The command is from Allah. I am digging your grave. He poses a question. Ibrahim asks him a question. He says, have you seen a friend killing a friend? Have you seen that in your life? The man kept quiet for a moment, waiting for the angel to come. In fact, he was an angel himself, waiting for the answer to come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The answer came. The man spoke to Ibrahim, said, Ibrahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, have you seen a friend refusing to go to the friend? Recite a salawat. Have you seen a friend refusing to go to a friend? No. Because if you are a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you will want to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aytamtu ayali likay araak. The words of Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. He says, I have orphaned my kids. Why? Because I want to come and see you, be with you, talk to you, do munajat with you. Oh Allah, you are the only thing. You are the only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is deserving to be worshipped. Death is going to come. The only thing is, If we befriend Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the exit from this world is going to be easy. Easy. But I'll quote to you the first khutbah of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wassalam on the day of Ashura. When he gave to the people opposite him, he spoke to them, he gave a khutbah, he said, Ayyuhan nas, ya ibadullah, O the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ittaqullah, be aware of Allah, be aware of Allah. وَكُونُوا مِنَ الدُّنْيَا عَلَى حَبَرٍ, and beware of this world that you and I are living in, that is amusing us and bemusing us. Beware of this world. Why? فَإِنَّ الدُّنْيَا لَوْ بَقِيَتْ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ أَوْ بَقِيَ عَلَيْهَا أَحَدٌ لَكَانَتِ الْأَنْبِيَاءُ أَحَقُّ بِالْبَقَاءِ. Because if this world would have remained for someone, or someone would have been remaining in this world forever in eternity, then the prophets would have been most worthy to remain on this earth. The prophets, who were sabir, patient, obedient to Allah, everything the prophets had. Yet even they had to go. So what makes us, me and you, not go from this world? غَيْرَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ خَلَقَ الدُّنْيَا لِلْفَنَاءِ. O people, and these are the words of Hussein ibn Ali, who you and I weep for. غَيْرَ أَنَّ الدُّنْيَا خَلَقَ اللَّهَ خَلَقَ الدُّنْيَا لِلْفَنَاءِ. It's only that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this earth to perish, this world to perish. فَجَدِيدُهَا بَالٍ. What is new in this world will become old. وَنَعِيمُهَا مُضْمَحِلْ. And the bounties of this earth and this world is going to perish, diminish. وَسُرُورُهَا مُكْفَهِرْ. And the happiness that you see, me and you see in this world is going to go. And then he says to these people, أَنْتُمْ أَقْرَرْتُمْ بِالطَّاعَةِ وَآمَنْتُمْ بِالرَّسُولِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمُ. You accepted the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, those people were all Muslims. They had only got the love of this world. The material love that was in their heart made them go against Hussein ibn Ali on the day of Ashura. Umar ibn Sa'ad wanted the governorship of Ray. The people wanted kingdom, governorship, love of this world. أنتم أقررتم بالطاعة وآمنتم بالرسول ثم إنكم زحفتم إلى ذريته وعترته. And then you have gathered armies opposite the family of the household of the Prophet and his family. تريدون قتلهم. You want to kill them. لقد استوحد عليكم الشيطان. Shaitan has taken control over you, O people, he says. فأنساكم ذكر الله العظيم. And he has made you forget the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most glorified. Shaitan. لقد إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. For surely there is no doubt that we are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And through Him is our return. Janabi Isa once said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, show me this world in its totality. Show it to me. Allah says, you want to see this world? He says, yes. He says, close your eyes. Isa closed his eyes. After a few moments, he said, open your eyes. Isa opened his eyes. And there stood an old, ugly lady. Lady. Imagine, this is, see, imagination is a condition here. Old lady with hair like sisal. Mouth stinking of death. No teeth in the mouth. Janabe Isa says, who are you? He says, I am the world. I am the world. Isa says, you are the world? He says, yes, I am the world. Isa asks her, tell me, do really people love you? She says, yes, there is a queue outside, if you see. Everyone wants to marry me. Everyone in this world wants to marry me, she says. Janabi Isa says, tell me one thing. Have you been loyal to anyone you have married? She says, never. On the night that they marry me, I kill them. They are no more. For they follow me, I take them, I tempt them with my voice and whatever, the beauty of this world. And on the last, and on the night that they come and marry me, I kill them. They are no more. This is the reality of this world. All the prophets that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent, all the a'immah salawatullahi wa salamu alayhim that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent, have come with a message. This world is for you to take service from. And as Mawlana has been saying this on and on and on again, and every year we hear this, that if you become the world's slave, then there is nothing for you, nothing for us. However, we come into the discussion of ruh, the spirit that Allah gives us, the ruh that we have. Without this ruh, this body is nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing. This ruh that Allah creates goes through five stages. There are five stages to this ruh. And we can go and think about it as much as you want. Five stages. The first stage of the ruh is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates it. He keeps it. And we call alamul arwah. The ruh, the arwah, the soul, the spirit is there in the alam of arwah. Where Allah keeps it. This is the first stage of the ruh. The second stage is when the child is in the womb of the mother. After 4 months, and the doctors know this better than I do, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts this ruh inside the child, in the womb of the mother. That is the second transfer of the ruh. Created from Adam, from non-existence into existence. From alam arwah into the now womb of the mother. The child gets the ruh. 9 months later, the child comes out to this world. He is growing up. He gets the opportunity of nurturing his soul. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent all these divine leaders and guides for us to learn how to nurture our souls. When we say to each other, clean your heart. What do we mean? Take this meat out and clean it with soap? No. It means to clean the soul, the spirit that we have in our heart. This is the third stage. At the moment we are all seated here, we are all listening, we can see with the fadl and the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is because of the spirit that is inside our bodies. Spirit. This is the third stage. And the fourth stage is when the spirit will be removed from me and you. That is when death comes. We say death has occurred. Someone has died. That means the spirit has been removed from the body. There is no more spirit in that body. The body becomes paralyzed. Body cannot see anymore. You cannot move. The tongue is motionless, completely. And the person is dead. The ruh comes out. Immediately it is given another alam, which is called alam-e-barzakh. Barzakh is a station between this life and the day of judgment. And you can read lots of books, Manazirul Akhirah and other books, and you can see what happens in Barzakh. We don't have much time to discuss all this in detail. I'm just very briefly going through all these things. This is the fourth stage. We have passed through the three stages already. We will pass through the fourth stage unless someone doubts that he's going to die. And the fifth stage is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts this soul back inside the body and raises us up on the day of judgment. Fifth. Then either this soul will go into Jahannam or this soul will go into Jannat. There is no third way. You see how the souls have gone? How the soul has gone? The journey of the soul begins from non-existence into eternity. But eternity either to hell or to heaven. That is how it is. In Surah Zumar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says a beautiful ayat. Allahu yatawaffa al-anfus hina mawtiha. Remember one thing. Ulama say, in Agha Qarati especially wrote a book on this. And he said that every night or every time we go to sleep, we die. And this death is called a small death. Mautu Sagir, they call it. Every night when we go to sleep, we die. That is why sometimes, and I don't know if this is true, they say don't wake someone up very roughly, because the soul may not get inside quickly. It's in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether you wake him up roughly, whether you burn him, whether you kick him, whatever you do, if Allah wants the soul to go back inside the body, it will go. If he doesn't want, it will not go. And he gives a beautiful imaginative example here, which I'll share with you. But the ayah first, Allahu yatawaffa al-anfus hina mawtiha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is he who causes the soul to die at the time of death. وَالَّتِي لَمْ تَمُتْ فِي مَنَامِهَا. And that soul which does not die in its sleep, فَيُمْسِكُ الَّتِي قَضَى عَلَيْهَا الْمَوْتِ. It is written, that doesn't die when he's sleeping. However, there are other souls which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds on to. He doesn't send them back. وَيُرْسِلُ الْأُخْرَى. And he sends others. إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى. Specific time. There was an incident in London some while ago, and people may be knowing this, that a young chap was reading Najul Balagha, and he was reading the chapter of death. At night he got tired, he fell asleep, and the book opened, the chapter of death was put on his chest. The next morning they go to wake him up, he is no more, dead. Finished. He slept healthy. He woke up dead. He didn't wake up. Death doesn't see young, old, woman, male, rich, poor. No. When death comes, it will come. Agha Qarati says, and it's a beautiful imagination. It's only for us to understand. He says, imagine this soul of yours is a driver. Driver. And this body of yours is an engine. Now, however you want to make this engine, see, you go to the gym, you make good body, physique, this, that, you drive whichever car you want to drive, no problem. But imagine your soul is the driver. وَجَاءَتْ, Allah says, وَجَاءَتْ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَعَهَا سَائِقٌ وَشَهِيدٌ. Allah says in the Holy Quran that every soul has come with a driver and a witness. On the day of judgment, when these feet and hands are going to give witness, Surah Yasin, you can read. That these legs will give witness on the day of judgment that this is where we have been taken to, this is what we have done, and this is what the gunas we have committed. And then there is a driver which makes this body and this soul go ahead. He says, imagine this body is a driver. And the soul is a driver and the body is the engine. When you sleep at night, what happens? When you sleep at night, the engine is on, the driver steps out. And it has happened, right? When you are busy or when you go somewhere to the shop, you just open the car, the engine is on, you go get your stuff, come back in the car. He says here, when you sleep, the driver is coming out, the engine is still running. He closes the door, he sits in another car, and he goes and roams around. Thus and hence we see dreams, brothers and sisters. Why do we see dreams? Because our souls go around here and there. Sometimes it is in Karbala, sometimes it is in Najaf, sometimes it is in Mashhad, sometimes it is in nightclubs. Different places. The purer your soul, it will go to pure places. The purest the soul, it will go to a pure place. Simple. Now, what happens? When the time comes, the driver comes back with that car, he is dropped, he comes out of that car, he wants to sit in his car, he opens the door, he sits in the car, closes the door, you are up in the morning. Your wife wakes you up, your son wakes you up, you are up. Salamu alaykum, dad. Alaykum salam. Let's have breakfast, let's go. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this back to you. Allah has given this back to us. But there are certain times, and this is in accordance to this verse, Agha Qarati says, there are some times when the driver comes back from his tour, He wants to get inside his car. The doors are locked. He can't get in anymore. He shouts. He opens. He's trying to open the door, trying to go from all corners of the car. He cannot get in. Why? Allah says, stop. No more life for you. You are dead. And he cries. He weeps. His family is around him. They start weeping. He cries. And he sees them. And the biggest evidence that we have is this verse. Is the hadith of Janabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. After the battle of Badr, when he won the battle, he went out to survey the battleground. Over there he had his sahabas with him also. They went. They saw the dead bodies of Abu Jahl and all these people. The Holy Prophet stood. He says, Ya Aba Jahlin, wa ya Umayya, wa ya Atba, wa ya Shayba. Oh, you people. Umayya and Abu Jahl and Shayba and Utba. Hal wajadtum ma wa'ada rabbukum haqqa? Have you found what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed you as right or no? You tell me. فَإِنِّي قَدْ وَجَدْتُ مَا وَعَدَنِي رَبِّي حَقَّى For I have found what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised me as right, as true. قَالَ Umar was there. He said to the Prophet, not knowing the station of the Prophet, لِمَا تَتَكَلَّمُ مِنْ أَجْسَادٍ لَا أَرْوَاحَ فِيهِ Ya Rasulullah, why are you talking to these dead people in which there are no souls? Why? The answer the Holy Prophet gave, and it is for me and you to understand also. He says, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ I swear by the one who has my soul in his hands. Allah. مَا أَنْتُمْ بِأَسْمَعِ لِمَا أَقُولُ مِنْهُمْ They can hear better than you do. If they would have heard the right true path, then today there would have been no problems. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala. They hear better than you do. غَيْرَ أَنَّهُمْ لَا يَسْتَطِعُونَ جَوَابًا It's a different case altogether that they cannot answer back. It's a different case. However, they can see, they can feel. That is why we are told that when you give Fatiha to the dead people, they receive it. They get it. Sakaratul Maut. The time of Sakaratul Maut when it comes. Allahu Akbar. Before we get into that, another verse to just prove this point further. Allah says in the Holy Quran, Surah Qaf, لَقَدْ كُنْتَ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مِّنْ هَذَا Oh man, you were heedless of the fact of death. You were heedless. You never thought it will come to you. فَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَاءَكَ فَبَثَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٌ We have removed veils from you now. Now your eyesight is as sharp and it can go as far as possible. For this veil of death and of life we have removed from you. The sakaratul maut that we have, Allahu Akbar. وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ ذَلِكَ مَا كُنْتَ مِنْهُ تَحِيدٌ And when the sakratul maut is coming, when the sakra, you see the last final moments of a person, when the time comes, it's an agony, it's an agonizing time, as per the riwayats, because I haven't gone through it at the moment myself, so I can't prove it. But according to the riwayats in the Holy Quran, it is there. It is not an easy task. However, we find in the riwayats that those who are mu'mineen, and especially the lovers of Ahlul Bayt, salamullahi alayhim ajma'een, their exit from this world will be easy. Insha'Allah ta'ala, we pray to Allah bihaq al-zahra'i wa abiha wa ba'liha wa baniha, that our exits are as easy as possible. But Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. He says, من أحب أن يخفف عنه السكرات الموت فليكن لقرابته وصولا وَلِوَالِدَيْهِ بَارَّةٌ. He says a person who wishes and he loves and he wants that his final moments would be easy, what should he do? فَلْيَكُنْ لِقَرَابَتِهِ وَصُولًا. He should be good to his family members. He should be good to his sister. He should be good to his brother. He should be good to his mother. He should be, and when I say he, I mean she also. Man, human. She and he, both of them are ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be good to family members and extended family members too. The qati' ram, and this is not my subject, we can talk. This is not my subject. We don't have time. But the qati' raham is one of the gravest sins that one can commit. And we will not know this now, but we will know it when the time of death comes and when Malakul Maut is there waiting to take our souls. We will know. فَلْيَكُنْ لِقَرَابَتِي وُصُولًا. And this is not in the riwayah, but I want to add something also. Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. He said, when he wrote the letter to Malik Ashtar, the governor, he wrote to him and he said, people are of two types, O Malik, remember. One, a brother in your faith, and the other one is the same and equal to you in creation. That means there is no, that he is a Muslim, so I treat him well, and he is a non-Muslim, I treat him wrongly. It is wrong. Islam doesn't recognize this. Amir al-Mu'mineen doesn't recognize this. If it is a human being, respect him, love him, and help him also. That is how it is in Islam. The order is for the family, and the extended order is for the entire human population. Whenever you see any zulm being done anywhere in the world, it is only the teachings of Hussein ibn Ali that we should stand up and say at least one word and say, what is happening in this earth today? فَلْيَكُنْ لِقَرَابَتِهِ وُصُولًا وَلِوَالِدَيْهِ بَارَّةٌ. And he and she should be obedient to their parents, father and mother, whatever the age. I'm not only talking to these kids, to everybody, including myself. If my mother is there, I have to show her utmost respect and obedience. And this is a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah would not have commanded us, then it would have been different. But if you look at Karbala, and you look at the youths of Karbala, like Awn and Muhammad, the way they respected their mother, and they gave their lives away for Hussein ibn Ali. The command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam says, whoever wishes that his sakaratul maut is easy, two things he should do. One, he should be good to his family members. Two, he should be obedient to his father and mother. Allahu Akbar. And this subject is so vast that you've been hearing about it all the way. Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib was one. He had an eye pain once. Rasulullah inquired, where is my brother, my friend, my wali, where is he? They said he had an eye pain. The Prophet said, I'll go visit him. So the Prophet went and visited him. And he knew how to remove this eye pain without Panadol. He sat down with him. He said, Amir al-Mu'mineen, how are you feeling? He said, I have an eye pain, ya Rasulullah. He sat down. He said, Ya Ali, when a disbeliever dies, he suffers tremendous pain at the time of the ruh coming out. Tremendous pain. Disbeliever, ya Rasulullah. Yes, disbeliever. I hope this will not be in our nation, ya Rasulullah. He said, no, there is going to be such a state also in our nation. Imam said, our believers also? Said, yes. Three types of people. A tyrant ruler. One/tyrant boss. Two, one who usurps the mal of the yateen. And nowhere in the world you will find a man like Ali ibn Abi Talib when it came to orphans. Nowhere. When he died on the 21st of Ramadan, All you could see outside his house were orphans and the ladies, widows weeping for Ali. Because he had gone, the Muhsin had gone. Two, three people. One, a tyrant ruler, a tyrant boss. Two, one who usurps the maal of the yatim. Three, one who gives false witness. If I have a fight with my friend, and I have another good friend, even if I am wrong, he will bear witness for me. In this case also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive the person. And sakaratul maut will be difficult. Time is finishing, and inshallah we shall continue from tomorrow. And then finally we will reach to the verses of the Day of Judgment, inshallah ta'ala. But when we talk of the youths of Karbala, only when we take the names of the youths of Karbala, our hearts are filled with grief and sorrow. We start weeping even before taking the names of Aun and Muhammad, Qasim, Asghar, Abbas, Ali Akbar. How difficult would it be for a mother to let the child go knowing that the child will not come back? How difficult can it be? A mother's love is unconditional, and you know better than I do. When a mother loves a child, it is unconditional. This mother Zainab bint Ali, the sister of Hussein, on the night of Ashura is sitting down with the two sons and saying to the two sons, "O my sons, tomorrow is the day of test for you. You have to go and give your lives away for Hussein." O mother, we are the grandchildren of Ali. To the last drop of our blood, we will not let anything happen to our Mawla Hussein. Nothing. This is the teaching Zainab is giving to the son. Umm Layla is sitting with Ali Akbar. Zainab is sitting with Aun and Muhammad. Hussein ibn Ali is in his own tents. Zikr all night. Ya Allah. On the day of Ashura, when the Sahabis went one by one, killed one by one, one by one. The two sons, Aun and Muhammad, young children, went to their mother, said, "Mother, we need to go to the battlefield now." The mother says, "You will, but go to Hussein for permission." Imagination is a condition here. The two children go to Hussein ibn Ali. Hussein looks at them from far and turns his face away. The children reach there, say, "Mawla." He doesn't reply them. They come back to Zainab and says, "Our uncle is not replying us." Zainab stands up and goes to Hussein and says, "Hussein, my brother, I only ask you one thing. Let my sons go to the battlefield." Hussein looks at Aun Muhammad and says, "How can I let these flowers go to the battlefield? How?" Eventually he allows them to go. Aun and Muhammad go, they fight, and they fight a gallant war. However, as usual, they are surrounded by the enemies. The enemies surround them. They fall down on the ground. "Assalamu alayka ya amma." "Oh, our uncle, peace be on you. Come and help us." Imam Hussein with Abbas runs. He goes to Aun, sits down there. Aun says, "Master, Mawla, uncle, I have heard Muhammad shouting for help." Hussein runs to Muhammad to find Muhammad is dead. He runs back to Aun Muhammad. Aun Muhammad is dead. Abbas and Hussein bring the dead bodies back to the tent. Riwaya says that it was a practice that all ladies used to come out and weep for the dead. But this time, everybody came out except Zainab. Except Zainab. When Hussein asked Fizza, "Where is Zainab?" Fizza says, "She is in sajda. Allahumma taqabbal minna hadha al-qurban." It is also reported that on the day when they returned back to Medina, Zainab was standing outside the door of her own house. When her husband came, he looked at this lady, old lady, said, "Who are you?" She said, "I am Zainab. I am Zainab. You have not understood and seen me. I am Zainab." She goes inside the house, sits her husband down and says, "Please accept the condolences of Aun and Muhammad, for they were killed in the saving of the blood of Hussein ibn Ali."
وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون.
سلوات زينب نے کہا بچوں کے لاشیں پہ تڑپ گئے
اے اون محمد اے اون محمد وآل محمد صلوات. مجرئ خلق میں ان آنکھوں نے کیا کیا
بی بی کے
میرے داخل نے اس بی بی کے سر کو دیکھا جس کی مادر کا کسی نے نہ جنازہ دیکھا مجرئی خلق میں
محمد وآل محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم